Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which of course means it is time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author today, Dr. James Thorpe, a board-certified OBGYN and maternal-fetal medicine physician, seen over 27,500 high-risk pregnancies in 4.5 years while serving one of the largest Catholic healthcare systems of St. Louis. Dr. Thorpe, currently the chief of maternal and prenatal health at the Wellness Company, among many other resume items and accolades. I thank you for being with us this morning. The book, Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. We've actually had a couple of different authors in different capacities on this. We actually had one individual that was one of the original test subjects of COVID vaccines. I'd like to just start off by asking you what it is that prompted you to write the book.
Well, thanks for having me on, Nick. Yes, what prompted me to write the book was the atrocities that I saw, you know, after 44 years of practicing as a high-risk OBGYN physician and seeing an entire system gone mad, especially obstetricians, 60,000 of them controlled by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, who were bribed and used their authority to threaten those 60,000 OBGYN physicians to push the vaccines in the most vulnerable.
And when it comes to the unborn and the vaccines, if you would walk us through the initial, of course, COVID, and then the so-called vaccines, I say, because they, you know, don't actually prevent you from getting COVID or passing it along. But I'm curious your experience as you began to recognize that, you know, hey, this isn't necessarily right, and then you saw your colleagues and the culture that you were in going way off track. Tell us about that, if you would.
Right. Well, Nick, in 2020, again, I was one of the senior maternal-fetal medicine physicians for the SSM health system in St. Louis. And of course, I was very skeptical of the hype in late 2019 and 2020. And, you know, I really saw nothing but a lot of hype from the government-controlled systems around the country. In terms of obstetrical outcome, I didn't see any adverse consequences from COVID-19, none whatsoever. All the disasters that I saw occurred after the rollout of the vaccine in 2021.
So then you began, I imagine, to see around you people having a much different perspective of what was going on. It just seemed as if, and this is obviously the way it was portrayed in the media, there was a consensus that this was the path to take and that these vaccines were the answer to everything. And what was that like to watch your colleagues that are supposed to be science-based, of course, seemingly going way off track and seeing the vaccine as the end-all be-all for things, including pregnant women?
Yeah, it was really an astounding phenomena. It was especially for OBGYN doctors that know the golden rule of pregnancy and really have lived with the after effects of the thalidomide disaster, you know, just in the last 50 years, and also the diethylstilbestrol disaster, which was even worse, the DES disaster. So, you know, we've always looked at the golden rule of pregnancy. You never, ever use a novel substance. And when I pointed out to everyone that, no, this is wrong, this is a dangerous, highly inflammatory, experimental injection, which is not even a vaccine, it's going to be a disaster in pregnancy, I was mocked, derided, and threatened.
Now, you, and this is something that you've testified to, you observed due to the shots, pregnancy complications, miscarriages, stillbirths, and a number of other tragic outcomes. As your colleagues, I mean, clearly in some capacity, they must have witnessed these things as well. How did they reconcile that with their perspective that no, vaccines are absolutely necessary?
Yes. What they did was a couple of things. First, understand that they were all under threat. On September 27th, 2021, as all of our major governing organizations were bribed with massive amounts of money from the Department of Health and Human Services, if they didn't push the vaccines in pregnancy and push the draconian narratives of the government, as in this letter they were sent from the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, they would lose their state licenses and their board certifications, everything they had worked for. It would destroy their career. So that was one MO. The other was that, you know, never heretofore in the history of the world has such a mass propaganda, fifth generation warfare been put out ever. And this was planned. You know, this was planned for at least a decade, you know, Event 201 and multiple other programs like that. So this was, you know, probably $5 to $10 trillion of hype, basically bribing and pushing fear and negotiating under the illegal, unethical contracts with every fabric thread of the tapestry of our society to push this as safe, effective, and necessary, and the only way out of the vaccine. The only way out of the pandemic, excuse me.
We are talking with our author of the week, Dr. James Thorpe. The book is Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. And I suppose it'd be somewhat anecdotally, but I'm curious in your experience as you were pretty isolated in your willingness to call out what you observed and to stand up for what was right here. Those others that were not, what do you have a sense of breakdown? How many of those were just complicit because, hey, I don't want to rock the boat, I don't want to lose my profession, versus those who just bought into it for whatever reason, versus those that maybe just don't think for themselves? I'm curious of what you saw as the makeup of those who fell into compliance.
It's a great question. We as physicians, really over the last 20 years, have been groomed to, first of all, we've been purchased and employed by hospital systems that are controlled by the government. And we've been groomed increasingly to follow this fake term called evidence-based medicine, which is completely fraudulent. It's an algorithmic form of medicine that comes from the government and the hospitals that get reimbursed more for following it. So we've been slowly groomed. The second one is that how dare you ever question the authority of the CDC, the FDA? You know, how dare you ever question the authority of the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Lancet Medical Journal, and the rest of the medical journals? How can you go against all this science? Well, little did they know that these were nothing more than government actors. Then director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, by the way, she's fleed to Germany now. She was involved in a money laundering operation with the New England Journal of Medicine. And she it's my opinion that she colluded. And we published this. She colluded with the editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. This is conspiracy. This is collusion. And there was laundering of money between Walensky and the New England Journal of Medicine editor-in-chief, Eric Rubin, to push the vaccine, this lethal, dangerous gene therapy in the most vulnerable pregnant women. And that was on April 21st, 2021. There were two articles, and I believe that this was fraudulent. It was illegal. It was absolutely false science, and it was a money laundering operation. This is how Walensky and the CDC and many others, Francis Collins, Jeffrey Zients of the White House, this is how they operated. This was a mass totalitarian push to control the population.
You mentioned, I think you used the term algorithm in terms of how it is that hospitals operate any longer. And I'm curious, because it sounds to me as if maybe part of the systemic problem is that the systems have shifted away from that overly simplistic, hey, are we making the patient better, into one that's more, the process is more important. The more that the process is followed, that is what is used as a measuring stick for success. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate. That's very accurate. I think that, you know, what's happened, I mean, when you look back and you look at the financial incentives for a hospital from numerous different agencies in early 2020, if they tagged a patient with a diagnosis in the ER or admitted with COVID-19, they got a supplemental reimbursement. If they admitted the patient and put a tag of diagnosis of COVID, they got even more monies. If they admitted the patient to an intensive care unit, they got even more money. If they admitted a patient to the ICU and intubated them, they got another massive increment of money. If they used a deadly drug called remdesivir, which is even more, it's extraordinarily dangerous, up to a 30 to 40% mortality rate in many studies. If they used that drug, they'd even get more. And if they put the patient in the morgue, they would get even more. You add up all those subsidies. Even if the patient was killed in a motorcycle accident, if they put him in the morgue with a diagnosis of COVID-19, some estimates say that it's $200,000 per patient. Per patient that ended up in the morgue with a diagnosis of COVID-19 as a cause of death.
Final question for our author of the week, Dr. James Thorpe, the book Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. It sounds as if the way that you present this, and just my basic understanding as well, is that I don't feel as if there's ever been this cultural acknowledgement. Yes, we handled this poorly, so we need to figure out a way to make sure it doesn't happen again. I suspect even if that were the case, however, it would be something along the lines of, oh, we'll set up panels and we'll have these groups to, you know, put checks and balances in place to make sure this
That's
doesn't.
Right.
But, and to me, that doesn't seem to come anywhere close to actually getting to the root of the problem. What is it that needs to happen to make sure that this sort of thing, which to me is just one of many spokes in this wheel of disaster that has been crafted in the way that we do medicine any longer in this country, what has to happen in order to get back to where really what is important is the health of the patient?
Boy, it's nearly impossible when you look at $4.5 trillion. Our healthcare budget for the United States of America. There's so much fraud that is incorporated in the system. So many people that are bought up. I think complete transparency. I think what my research team has extensively published on, the corruption of the NGOs, non-government organizations that have essentially acting as government actors. And that includes not only all the medical organizations, but also the media. They all acted as government actors and were paid as such. And so specifically with regard to my area of specialty, three organizations are corrupt, fraudulent, and they killed and injured the most vulnerable. Not just in the United States of America, all over the world. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ABOG, and the Society for Maternal-Fetal Medicine. As goes those three organizations, as goes the rest of the world for obstetrical care. And they, to this very day, are pushing this lethal organization by the book. Okay, I wrote a chapter in there, an open letter to the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology after they threatened me. Dr. George Wendell, then executive director of the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, threatened me with my license and with my certification. I said, we'll see about that. So I published a 98-page letter 3 years ago now, in January of 2022, responding to them, reviewing all of the governmental data showing the devastating pregnancy complications. I also cited multiple other experts and sources all over the world. And if that weren't enough, I cited 1,019 peer-reviewed medical journal articles in just 12 months after the rollout of the vaccine, documenting death and injury from the vaccine. And guess what? After that got published 3 years ago, crickets. Well, they knew they were dead wrong.
And I know I said that was the last question, but I do one quick one because I'm sure people listening are wondering, as we hear so much in the first several weeks of the Trump administration transparency, RFK Jr. seems to have this real theme of recognizing that there are problems and that transparency is a term that he's used a lot, providing information, although it may not fix the problem as insurmountable as it sounds. Do you think that that is at least the step in the right direction? And that it might be helpful in some capacity?
Absolutely. If Bobby stays true to his word, which I believe he will, and I believe that if the American people see how these healthcare institutions and our government killed and injured us for profit. Listen, this is $60 billion per year of revenue to the pharmaceutical industry for vaccines. That's a year. $60 billion of vaccine revenues to the pharmaceutical companies. And what a business plan they have. Mm. Then they get another $500 or $600 billion for the therapies which they market to treat the injuries they cause by the vaccine. So this is a kind of nonsense. And this is a kind of government corruption that needs to, the entire world needs to see this. We need to see it. And it's the American people that have been experimented on. You know, right. Nick, we spend over $13,000 per year per person in the United States of America for healthcare. Compare that to India, $65. And they have a much better grade report card, healthcare outcomes, than we do. And it's because we, the American people, are being abused and acted as test subjects for these kleptocratic corporate government entities to make money off of.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Dr. James Thorpe. The book again, Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.